Think back over your life. Those times when you've had a first. I got to tell you, one of the ones that I think of for me is I remember when I first got my driver's license. How many of you remember that? I remember for me, I turned 16 on my 16th birthday. I spent it on a charter bus coming home from Colorado on a church trip. But I couldn't wait till I got home to take my driver's test. And so I could get my driver's license. I remember what that's like. I remember when I first started working. How many of you remember that first paycheck? How many of you remember the first paycheck of your kiddos? Yeah, I know some of us are there. I remember that. I always tell students when I was a youth pastor, if you just work until you make it to payday, it all makes sense to you then. You just got to get the payday. I remember that first paycheck. How many of you remember when your kiddos first started learning to walk? Do you remember that? Man, you walk them across the living room and back across to walk them to mom and back to dad and back to mom and back to dad. And you know, the problem with it is all of those things are great things. The only problem with it is they're firsts, and we love them and we're so excited about them and we take pictures. And then after we drive for a few years, it's really not that big of a deal to drive. When our kids are 4 or 8 or 23, we don't celebrate that they walk to the fridge and back, or that they walk out and do whatever they do. You know, even after you've worked a little while, payday comes, and it's always nice to get payday. But you get to where it's really not a celebration to you. It's just that, hey, I need to take this money and pay those bills, and I need to get this caught up, and I need to save for that. And all of a sudden, payday just becomes like a regular day of life in a lot of ways. I want to challenge you this morning as we do the Lord's Supper. Could you look at it like a rookie? Could you look at it like you're just figuring out Jesus? I want to read to you this morning out of John chapter 1. It says, this is John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" He did not refuse to answer, but he declared, "I am not the Messiah." "What then?" they asked him. "Are you Elijah?" "I am not," he said. "Are you a prophet?" "No," he answered. "Who are you then?" they asked. "We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What can you tell us about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' just as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John the Baptist answered them. "Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." All this happened in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who has surpassed me because he existed before me. I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I watched the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he rested on him. I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I have testified and seen that he is the Son of God." Imagine what it was like when people first started figuring out who Jesus really was. Not just the carpenter's son from Nazareth, but when they started figuring out and John testified that he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, he is the one who takes away the sin of the world. John said, "I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. And I'm not even one of the prophets. I'm just here to prepare the way for Jesus." He said, "Jesus came to baptize with the Spirit. I just baptize with water." 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 29 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you on the night when he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, 'This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself. In this way he should eat the bread and drink the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Before we take the Lord's Supper, the Scriptures speak to the fact that it's important for us to be in right relationship with God before we partake of the bread and the juice, of the body and the blood. I want us to take a minute for you this morning. Can you just shell yourself off for a second in a big group of people, just you, and spend some time with the Lord? If you need to come to the altar and confess something, you can. If you need to come to the altar and ask for guidance, you certainly can do that. But I want to give you a minute to spend some time just you and the Lord to make sure that you and Him are where you need to be before we take the Lord's Supper. I'll play a song for you, and you can spend some time praying, and we'll do that now.
To the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow,
come to the table.
I want to invite you this morning to one of the special things that we do at First Baptist Church. I want to remind you that the reason we do it is to remember what Jesus has done for us. It's not important to us whether you're a member of First Baptist Church or not. What is important to us is if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we ask you to be a part, to participate this morning. Whether you're a member at First Baptist or whether you're just a guest with us this morning, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want you to participate in the Lord's Supper this morning. I would tell you that there's three things that I would like us to think about this morning as we go through the Lord's Supper. We're going to try to answer three questions. We're going to try to answer who and what and why. All of us have a tendency to ask questions. We want to know who and what and why. And so I want us to do that this morning. Jeff and Donald, I would invite you to come up. Go ahead and pass it out, and we'll play a song for you.
Thank you.
seated. When we think about answering the question of who, this is what the Scriptures tell us in Mark chapter 15. It says, "Then the soldiers led him away into the courtyard, that is the headquarters, and called the whole company together. They dressed him in a purple robe, twisted together a crown of thorns, and put it on him, and they began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' They kept hitting him on the head with a reed and spitting on him, and getting down on their knees, they were paying him homage. When they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple robe, put his clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. They forced a man coming in from the country who was passing by to carry Jesus' cross. He was Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and then they crucified him and divided his clothes, casting lots for them to decide what each one would get. Now it was 9 a.m. when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge against Jesus was, 'The King of the Jews.' They crucified 2 criminals with him, one on his right hand and one on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'And he was counted among the outlaws.' Those who passed by were yelling insults at him and shaking their heads and saying, 'The one who would demolish the sanctuary and build it again in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross.' In the same way, the chief priests with the scribes were mocking him to one another and saying, 'He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross so that we may see and believe.' Even those who were crucified with him were taunting him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, and at 3 Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which is translated, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'Look, he's calling for Elijah.' Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a reed, and offered it to Jesus to drink, and said, 'Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down.' But Jesus let out a loud cry, and he breathed his last breath. Then the curtain of the sanctuary was split in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who was standing opposite him saw the way Jesus breathed his last, he said, 'This man really was the Son of God.'" When I think about answering the question of who do we remember when we do the Lord's Supper, not only do we celebrate the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, but we celebrate the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Jeff, would you pray for us?
Sure. Dear God, we thank you for your plan, God, that it is good. God, as I watched this bread be handed out today, it was just an example, God, of how freely you give. God, that it's for each person that took a piece, God, but for everybody, God, that you see value. So much value, God, that you sent your Son Jesus that he would die, God, that we could have life eternally. We thank you for that, God. God, you didn't send Jesus just that we may have life eternally, though, but you sent him that we could have it in abundance here on earth. God, I pray for us to have the confidence, the peace, those things that you intend through your provision of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Treasures that fail, never enough.
be seated. When we answer the who of Jesus, the Son of God, the what is the reason that we do this, I believe it's supposed to be a celebration. While we want to be reverent, and while there certainly is honor and praise that go along with it, I believe it is a celebration. And what is it that we celebrate? In Matthew chapter 27, it says, "The next day, which followed the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember that while this deceiver was still alive, he said, "After 3 days, I will rise again." Therefore, give orders that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come, stealing, and tell the people, "He has been raised from the dead." Then the last deception will be worse than the first. "You have a guard of soldiers," Pilate told them. "Go and make it as secure as you know how." Then they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting the guard. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his robe was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken from fear of him that they became like dead men. But the angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." The what is because he's risen. Not just because he died for us, but because he rose for us. Donald, would you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you to be in your presence this morning, God. Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus and the sacrifice, Lord, that he went through, and that, God, that he rose again, Lord. God, to prepare a place for us, Lord. And God, just don't forget the promise of what you said, that, you know, all this happened so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. God, we just pray and we thank you for your Son Jesus, and we thank him for his sacrifice. For it's in your Son's name that we pray and ask all things, God. Amen.
The scriptures tell us in John, when we think about the who we celebrate and the why we celebrate and the what, it tells us in John chapter 14 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 why it is we celebrate. We got the who and the what. It says, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my house, in my Father's house, are many dwelling places, and if not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will always be with the Lord." The why is because Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And not only did he die for us and rise for us, but he's preparing a place for us, and he's coming again to meet us. That's our why. That's the reason we celebrate not only today, but that's the reason that we celebrate every day. I want us to do our invitation a little different than normal. I'm going to invite our band to come on up and to get ready. And I want them this morning to get to take a minute. Here you go, Bill. As our band gets ready, I want to encourage you this morning during our invitation. If you would like to come forward and pray, you certainly can. I'm going to be here. For all of our deacons, I'd invite you to go and sit with your families. You can go ahead and go. Because I thought with our last song this morning, we should celebrate. And so as our band gets ready to lead us in a celebration, I want you to sing this morning like we win. I want you to celebrate because we know the outcome. Not just because we like the song or because we know the words. I want us to get to celebrate this morning because we know the who, we know the what, and we know the why. Would you stand with me? If there's something that God has spoken to you this morning, and like I said, you need to come and pray, or you would like me to pray with you about something, I'd invite you to come forward and let me know. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him in a personal relationship. If you don't know this morning, if Jesus came back, you'd go to heaven, and you'd like to settle that today, I'm here. You come and catch me. Other than that, let's just take a minute and celebrate.